When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
You're tired.
You have no idea. I am a shell of a woman. Have you ever seen a little kid sick? It's like the worst thing ever.
Oh,
it's heartbreaking.
Well, they're so helpless, the little guffers.
Oh my God, my son just looks at me. I mean, and he's up like he's got croup. Right?
What's croup again? Is
girl,
that?
I don't know. It sounds like pneumonia, but
yeah,
I know
that
he's
bad
had
cough,
his,
right?
It is like out of like a baby. I mean, a baby. Green boogers have like cemented the entrance to his nose holes. I'm not even being like dramatic. I'm being dead ass serious. It is so bad. And I, because we took him to the doctor yesterday, and I was like, honey, I'm worried. Like, I'm actually worried. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's croup. Gave us nothing for him, nothing. So, of course, Dr. Mom, I'm trying to, like, treat him with saline spray and trying to get, like, all, you know, these little kid formulas that have zinc and C and stuff in there. And he screams and cries. I'm sucking snot out of a tube from my mouth. Have you seen this thing? You stick a tube in their nose. And you take your mouth, it supposedly has a fill, and suck, inhale boogers out of their nose because they can't.
Get out of here.
No, girl, I'm serious as a heart attack because they can't blow their nose. He can't breathe. And he just looks at me and cries. And he's like the happiest kid on the planet, right? And he just looks at me
well,
and he's like.
Well, maybe you're blowing in instead of sucking.
No, I'm sucking. I am filled tubes of snot.
Is that healthy for you?
It's got a. No, I'm sure. It's got like a filter on it, right? You suck in through this tube and it goes. It is the worst. My 2-year-old, she's a little better with it. I don't think she's got it as bad. And this is the most disgusting thing. But I think from years of like being in an orphanage with 40 other kids where no one gives a crap, she's just like, I'm sick. Whatever, man. Babe, are you okay? And like, she doesn't, you know what I mean? She doesn't know any better. But, like, the baby is so sick, and we've been up all night. And here's – you want to know something amazing? I don't know that there's a takeaway. I think, really, I'm just looking for some validation. God does something incredible to these women that actually give birth to these babies.
something happens in their biochemistry that they're sort of delusional. Like, so Phoenix is coughing so hard that he is vomiting like the Exorcist. We can't keep anything in him, which, of course, you know, makes me panic because I'm like, oh, my God, mm-hmm. he's going to be dehydrated. So it's like I'm wrestling him to the ground, trying to shoot Pedialyte in his mouth and all. It's like, and, you know, so he pukes all over me. And I am just like, oh, my God. I mean, sucking snot. And I am like thinking to myself, how is this? Where on what planet was God like, you know what we're going to do is take a perfectly autonomous, independent adult and give them a pooping, boogery, vomiting little creature to take care of. And like, what happens with your hormones that you're like, let me suck your boogers? What a phenomena. I found a takeaway for you on this, by the way.
Okay.
How to avoid getting sick. Because are you ready for this? Here's what's amazing. You remember when I used to, God help me, hold on, let me knock on wood and not put the jinx on it. But you remember when I used to get sick like every 3 months? Sick yeah. constantly. And I was
you
like,
always
this
had
is
a cold.
I was yeah. sick as a dog. So I read this study and it said that parents who have kids, or I'm sorry, adults who have kids are 53% less likely to get sick. And they, by the way, couldn't find the mechanism of it. They thought maybe it was like a survival mechanism that you couldn't get sick because the kids were sick. Mm-hmm. I have lived through now 3 months of burgers straight because the gazillion dollars that I'm paying to lose school has basically infected our home for the entire winter. Every time she gets better, there's another snot-nosed kid that gets her sick. Then she goes back to school and gets them sick. So we just pass this disease yeah. around in perpetuity. But I haven't gotten sick. With that said, though, I have been aggressively supplementing. So, since it is the season to be sick, here are a few things that you should know. Number one, a virus, because a lot of this stuff is viral. You can get a Z-Pak or antibiotics, but usually you've caught a virus, especially if you've had the flu shot and you're still sick.
Did you get a flu shot?
I didn't get the flu shot, and I usually do, even though I know everyone's going to be like, I can't believe you do that, Jillian, blah, blah, blah. I usually do get the flu shot because I can't go down. I go down. I mean, for like, I once got sick for 2 months a couple years ago. I had walking friggin' pneumonia. Yeah. And I just can't. I can't do it. So vitamin C. Vitamin C actually has been shown to kill virus because it creates such an acidic environment. So a doctor told me 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every 2 hours. When you're sick.
Every 2 hours?
I know, girl. You'll poop your brains out, but because it's like not easy on the tummy. But so I do it like 5 times. I dose it out on C and zinc. So the dropper is the most disgusting thing in the world. I'll try Zicam, like the little chewables. Yeah. Another one to do preemptively, I can't pronounce it. It's like oxicillium. And it's a homeopathic remedy. But it's it's a little flu remedy. And you take it when you're either about to get sick or you think you're going to get sick under the tongue. And I mean, I've been doing that, the oxicillium, dosing myself on C. I've been taking an immunity vitamin because another thing that helps to fight virus is called elderberry. Mm-hmm. So there's elderberry extract, or they make it in these little pills. Elderberry helps to kill a virus. So vitamin C, zinc, elderberry. You can also get Zand brand makes a natural elderberry lozenge. That's really good. Honey is great for being antimicrobial. You can't give a baby honey, though. Under a year, there's a bacteria that can get in honey that can cause infant botulism.
Really?
But I've been giving it to Lou. With your kids, there's something called First Defense, and it's for little kids. And you can give it to them, and it has things like zinc in it, and it tastes sweet. I've tricked Lou into thinking it's candy. I'm like, bud, candy? Yum, yum? Candy? And if you've got toddlers, and this is something else, you can do garlic. It's a really powerful antimicrobial. So make something with garlic in it. So like with Lou, when I make her pasta with the meat sauce, we put tons of garlic in there to help her get better. The baby can't get it in there, obviously. Heidi tried to puree it, and he just was like, with his butternut squash, because like we'll make him purees now, and he wasn't having it. But the toddler, we can work it into her tomato sauce and her pasta. And she eats it, no problem.
I've been trying to drink it. Like I put it in the blender and drink it.
garlic with raw mix.
And watch it. It's brutal.
Cook it up, dude. Really? Or you can take a garlic supplement. But yeah, you can cook it and it's still okay. Put it in your food.
Oh,
that way it's not so bad. And you don't get it doesn't seep through your skin in the same way. The raw garlic is brutal. Or the garlic pills are fine. And I mentioned honey. Put it in like with a lot of lemon and tea. And get the raw unpasteurized honey. And I'm not talking about like the fake high fructose corn syrup honey. I'm talking about honey. Because have you ever honey doesn't go bad. It kills it kills bugs. Bacteria as well. They used to use it in like ancient Egypt and put it on wounds to keep infection from spreading.
Really?
Yep, big time. Another one, saline. Salt kills everything. That's why salt water, if you get a really bad cut, you put it in salt water. So saline spray in your nose, really good at like knocking off anything that could be going on in there.
Hey, you know, you mentioned a while ago, and I don't know if this has got to do with being sick, but you mentioned ginger chews. Is that now sick or is that something different?
Ginger chews are really good for inhibiting a soreness from a workout.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, I didn't know if it was for sickness too, but soreness.
Could be. I'm not. You know something? I do take an immunity shot from this little place that we go to called the Vitamin Barn, and there is ginger in it. I'm sure ginger is antimicrobial. It's probably in one of my books somewhere.
That's what I did with my drink. It was ginger, garlic, and this drink. So yeah. That's why I was wondering. If
oregano oil, too. Oregano is also antimicrobial. Oregano oil. But, I mean, if you're going to, you know, you can cook with fresh oregano. That'll help.
Right. Gotcha.
But, boy, get on it, man.
Yeah. It's I think for some reason this is going to be a brutal long winter. I mean, especially for sick and... I know in like a lot of places you have to get a flu shot to go into, like we had to get flu shots to go into where my dad is because you can't, you know, you have to
be
really careful.
You'll kill someone. Yeah, I know.
In an old age
facility. Flu kills more people than, it's some sort of crazy statistic.
It's particularly
elderly people.
And if it gets into a facility, it'll run rampant through it. So it's a tough call because I know there's the jury is out for a lot of people with the flu shot, but... You know what?
Look, man, when it's life-threatening,
you
got to make a decision.
Yeah.
So, you know, that said. Anyway, yeah, I'm exhausted.
And if you do have a little bit of a cold like I do and you blow your nose, make sure to ask someone if there's any bats left in the cave.
Oh, right.
Because that's horrible.
That is bad.
When you blow
I've been
nose,
meaning to tell you.
Have I got bats in the cave?
Yeah.
Isn't it awful?
Well,
what do you do?
You know, it's radio, so I didn't think it mattered.
I'm sorry.
I forgot this one, too. Wash your hands all the time.
I know.
You wash your hands. Don't touch your face and wash your hands.
Don't touch your face. It's so true.
I learned that one actually from Travis on the doctors. He's like, wash your hands. Because like we'd go to the little.
Now Jake just put some the Purell on. Now see, I try not to use that stuff.
Bad for you. I know.
It's every hospital, every facility. But if you, I'm trying not to use it.
Soap and water. Anything going on in your life?
You know, it's been very quiet.
Jake, anything? Anything?
Anything new? Or
I mean, got anything to talk about? Or... Oh, Jesus.
Can't
Brittany?
I've got lots going on.
Like what?
So, between work and getting settled into my new house and working out, I'm now on my new fitness kick.
Oh, how's that going?
It's going good. I'm sore and I missed it. Yeah, you know, kind of got out of a relationship, and now I'm kind of back focused on myself.
Yeah.
What is that?
I kind of lost myself.
Dump balls. She dumped.
Someone.
Someone. Yeah. I saw that coming.
I know.
Yeah, I saw that coming. I think people do, because I think sometimes we get in relationships that are not the healthiest, not because the person's not necessarily the healthiest, but because we play stuff out.
Yep.
So we get codependent sometimes.
Brittany.
Yes.
And then you get burnt out on taking care of that other person, and you get out, and you start taking care of you again.
That's where I'm at, and I'm really happy with it.
But the key down the road, of course, is to integrate both.
Right.
To be able to exist separately in the relationship and take care of the other person, but also yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm learning. I'm growing.
It's not easy.
No.
I'll tell you, it really is not easy. And that's the problem, because then you take care of the other person's needs, and if you don't take care of your own needs, then you resent them, even though you're a party to it, and it's a whole thing.
It's been a long time since I've been in that situation, so I can't really relate.
Really?
Hmm?
Yes. I must say, there's something about being single, is that there's not a lot of drama in your life. Life is very just... You're responsible for yourself. And I'm not saying that it's a, you know, we're meant to be with people. We're meant to be, we're creatures. But I don't know. I have to admit, I don't feel jealous. Like, I'm a terribly jealous person in a relationship. Oh, terribly. I get very, you know, freaked out. Like, so they're not to have that in my life. It's fantastic.
But you could get in a relationship where you felt secure and you didn't have that.
Oh, I don't think so.
I will say, no, trust me, you can. Mm. You can. A relationship where you feel secure. You know, there are relationships where you can take care of yourself and you consider the other person's feelings, where you can feel secure and not feel jealous or insecure. Because a lot of times people might trigger your jealousy to see how much you care because they're feeling insecure.
Yes, I think they call that the dance.
Oh, is that what that's called?
I think I read a book. My shrink gave me a book once. She said, read this. And I went to...
And did you read it?
Yeah, it was a big picture book.
Oh, my goodness.
About relationships.
Well...
Something about the dance, like that push-pull, that thing.
How far are you willing to go?
Oh,
how
God.
Much do you love me?
Yeah. Like, really? Do we have to do that?
No, you don't. I will say that... I've thought a lot about, oh, God, because we had to, you know, adopting both the kids and all of that stuff. And if we break up, you get this and you get that and I get this and you live here and I live there. And, you know, you have to, it's the worst. But it did make me think about, oh, my God, being single again. And, it, you know, you always have that whole first initial like, oh, this person texted me and it's new and it's cute. And then all the drama. Really. And I realized, like, the grass is not greener. The grass is greener where you water it. And that's the thing. It's a matter of you can have a healthy relationship, but you have to date somebody who's healthy. And it doesn't mean it won't be perfect. You know, Heidi and I have tons of moments of imperfection, more so after the kids, that's for sure, because it got real complicated after the kids. But you have to work on it, and you have to have somebody that's willing to work on it. But I don't think... I feel like it shouldn't be all or nothing. Well, if I get in a relationship, I'm going to be jealous and it's going to be drama. Or if I get in a relationship, ugh, I'll lose myself and I'll have to fully take care of that other person. No. It becomes your responsibility to work towards a healthier dynamic.
But if that's a habitual thing you do is become codependent or become a jealous person, then you shouldn't be in a relationship until you kind of... I don't know, get healthy, because you're just going to repeat it.
True, but if you can stay conscious of it, of what you're doing and the patterns you get into and stop doing them, okay, you know what? I haven't been to the gym and I bought you flowers and we went to your movie and we went to where you wanted to go to dinner, but I didn't get to go to work out and I didn't get to do this and this for myself and I'm starting to resent it. Then you need to say in that moment, babe, tomorrow... I'm going to go hit the gym and have lunch with my friend, Sally, and I'll see you later. And it's okay to do that. You got to practice it, though. You got to be aware of your patterns and then practice making changes. How did we get on this? Oh, yeah, Brittany got in a breakup thing. Yeah, that's right.
What Janice was saying, too, how to like work on yourself before you get into another relationship. Sometimes it's also a different person can bring out something else in you.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true, Jill.
It's who you attract.
There's a lot of damaged people, though.
Of course there
are.
There are a lot of damaged people.
And you're right. You can't not get into... I mean, that's how we find out what our stuff is. And let's face it. If everyone's
damaged,
gonna come up, it's going to be in a relationship.
The thing is, everyone's damaged. What you have to ask yourself is, are they aware of the ways in which they're dysfunctional? Do they have the self-esteem to acknowledge those issues and work on it? That's the key. Because everybody's messed up, man.
Yeah.
The key is to be able to go, okay, you know what? I have two friends, right? They're in a relationship. One of them is the child of an adult, is the adult child of an alcoholic, mm-hmm. right? His dad was an alcoholic. The other one grew up basically being abandoned and cast aside. And so the one that was abandoned needs a lot of attention. Then the one whose father was an alcoholic gives him a lot of attention and then resents him because he gives him a lot of attention. And it's like he plays out all this father stuff. And when he's able to go, okay, you know what? This is not about you. This is about my issues with my dad. And I'm the one who is putting myself out. I'm making these choices to put myself out and negate my own feelings. And when he stops doing that in the relationship, he stops resenting the other person. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to be conscious about what you do and what you contribute. And when they can be aware of their issues and why they do things, then it allows them to work through it within the context of the relationship and come out the other side. But when you can't work on it and you won't work on it, or you don't have the self-esteem to work on it.
Or sometimes you don't know what to work on. That's even scarier, is when you know, someone points out something you do and you're just like, what? Do you know what I mean
really?
By that? You
got to have the self-worth to be able to look at it, though. Like, I remember when I was younger, not so much now, but when I was younger, I felt like, well, I pay for everything. You should be happy all the time. You're not allowed to have feelings because I pay for everything. Mm. So you don't get to have feelings. What could you possibly be complaining about? And I was like, ooh, God, that's ugly. What is that? Control issues from my childhood. So I pay for everything, so I control the situation, so I never have to take risks and never get hurt. But you got to have the ability to look at the parts of yourself that are ugly. That's all. And know that it doesn't mean you're a crap person. It's just something you need to work on. So I worked on it a lot. And it's, you know, I remember Heidi once said to me, I didn't put toothpaste on her toothbrush, right? And she was pissed about it because it was like this thing that we would do where it's like, if I wake up first, I put toothpaste on your toothbrush. You wake up first. So I forgot it. And she got mad about it. And I was like thinking to myself, you don't have to rush. I didn't put toothpaste on you. So what? Like, I bought you this or I bought that and I pay for this and I pay for that. And I was like, wait a minute. Just because you pay for all these things doesn't mean she doesn't have the right to have her feelings or to feel upset. Or granted, she was upset of me about something else. And it was
right.
It was projected onto the toothpaste. But, you know, she was allowed to have those feelings, too.
Yeah.
And in that moment, though, I thought, like, so stupid. You're pissed. I don't put toothpaste. Oh, please. All the things I do for you. And I've had to really work through all those issues. And that's the key, man. It's about looking at yourself and knowing that just because you're flawed doesn't mean that you're less than or you're a bad person. That's a big reason people can't acknowledge the mistakes they make as parents, in relationships, as kids, to their parents. Because when they go, oh, my God, if I acknowledge that I've done this wrong, it means I'm bad. It means I made a mistake.
Yeah.
We do it professionally.
Yeah.
I had someone say to me, like, I hate when you do this, this, and this. On the show. And I was like, had a moment of thinking, like, is she right? Is she wrong? Is she projecting? Is it true? Is it not? And I just apologized anyway, because it was how she felt, right? So I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry I made you feel that way. And I did have a little old twinge of like, oh, God, if I'm apologizing to that, they think that that means that I'm a bad trainer. Like, I had that moment of insecurity,
right.
And I was like, this is absurd. No, sorry if I made you feel that way. But it's taken me years to get to that place where I can do that, where I know that, you know, and that's the key, man. You got to be able to look at your flaws, acknowledge them, and then work on them. That's the key. And then when you do that in a relationship, that's when it gets better. But you don't have to be jealous, and you don't have to be codependent. And when your head is in the right place and you're working on yourself, Jake is right. You'll attract somebody who is willing to work on themselves as well. And you'll have something good and healthy. It's not all or nothing, you two.
Oh, I was also saying, though.
Yeah,
not
what
even
else,
if you're
Jake?
Attracting yeah. someone different. It's just when someone different comes along, different people like... my mother is the perfect example. She was always kind of like reclusive and to herself. And then she met a guy after my father. And he really just brought out, I've never, ever saw her like that. It wasn't like I was even hanging around my mom. It was a whole different woman.
Yeah.
And it was great. She was happy. She was out. She was excited and everything. And it wasn't that she attracted, like, that she had changed to attract a different person. It's just that a different person found
her
attractive.
The chicken and an egg situation.
And entered her life. And it was
And she responded to it.
Yeah. And it was, he just brought out the best in her. And it's really cool to see that different people can do that.
They absolutely can. You have to be receptive to them.
Yeah.
But yeah. God, you two effing. Meanwhile, Brittany thinks she's in a really good place and I've just bashed the crap out of her. I'm so happy. I'll take care of myself.
Oh,
you're going to die alone, dysfunction shorts.
No. Shout out to all the single ladies. I'm single, too.
Oh, my. Hey there, Panderama.
What's that?
Yeah, Match.com. I got a couple of girls, too, that ask me about Jake.
Oh, yeah, I'm 6'3", blue eyes, handsome, blonde hair.
It's true, actually.
It's true.
It is true,
He is a cutie pie.
Yeah, he's 10, but it's true. He's jailbait, but it's the truth. I'm going to pull a Madonna and, like, go out with Jake to a bar or something. I feel like that's what all the cool, rich, famous, powerful women do.
Have a boy toy?
Yes.
Oh.
Sorry, single ladies, I am no longer single. Yeah. Now I'm going to a bar with Jillian.
Yeah, I'll have to buy him like a cool car or something, though. So,
oh, you know.
J-Lo,
don't.
Her boyfriend's 10. Yeah, Madonna's boyfriend's 5.
Yeah.
A Demi was dating Ashton, who's like 12, for the longest time. I need to do this. Forget this whole queer thing. Get myself a young boy thing.
Buy him a truck and a surfboard, huh?
Yeah. Motorcycle. What the hell are we talking about?
I don't know.
This show really has just gone to the birds.
I know.
And oh, well.
It's only just begun.
It's only just begun.
Okay, don't let her sing Jake Turner Off. Oh, my God.
I don't know how it goes after that.
Too late.
Oh, no.
She was all too quick to jump in, though. Look at her.
No.
Oh, yeah, you can turn it off.
Poor Jake and I.
And she starts dancing, which makes it even worse.
Oh,
turn it
shoot.
Off.
We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises. A kiss for luck and we're on our
Are we going to do something technical?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say technical. But I do think we should address this. So, you know, on this season of Biggest Loser, it's kind of like a big stink because we're incorporating kids on the show for the first time. And I got to admit, I was real skeptical at first. And I was like, I don't think this is the right forum. And this makes me very nervous. And, you know, I've said we have this new executive producer who's a woman who I love, who's great. And she was like, look, Jill, if we don't, who's going to? If a platform like Biggest Loser and NBC don't do what they can to address this issue, doesn't that make us irresponsible? Isn't it our job to address it, but to address it responsibly? And I saw her point because, you know, I've worked with the Alliance for a Healthier Generation, which is Clinton's organization. I work with NFL Play 60, which is the NFL's initiative to get kids playing 60 minutes a day. But having a platform like Biggest Loser to help educate parents and kids on how to be healthy, if done right, is invaluable. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this today, about what you can do if your kid is overweight and how you should handle it. You know, there was a study done. I learned this, by the way, from we have a pediatrician on the show, and her expertise is childhood obesity, and she was talking to me about research that had just come out. Parents would rather talk to their kids about sex than their weight.
Oh, wow.
And the thing is, you have to talk to them. It's not should you or shouldn't you. It's how you talk to them. And you say things like, we, not you. We, I really want us to be healthier. I really want us to be more active. So you're not singling them out. But the thing is, and people go, oh, well, you know, if you talk to your kids about weight, aren't you going to create, you know, an eating disorder? A kid that's overweight knows they're overweight. They're not stupid. They're suffering with that issue. I remember knowing I'm fat, you know, and other kids make sure you know it. Sad, sad as it is. So the thing is,
how you talk to them about it is what's key. What you don't want is your kid going online, Googling fast weight loss and going, oh, you know, supermodels eat tissue paper to stave off hunger. Let me do that. Do you see what I mean? Like, you've got to circumvent this. So if you are struggling with a kid that is overweight, number one, you need to change your ways. You are their primary role model. Not me, not some rock star. You are. You're their primary role model. You need to get healthy. You need to prioritize your own wellness so that, number one, they'll follow suit. They admire you. They look up to you. Don't be a hypocrite. You need to do it first and show them how it's done. And then number two, talk to your kid and make it a family affair. So it's your job to say, I want us to be healthier, and start gradually changing foods in the house. Not just for your child, for everybody. It doesn't mean your other skinny kid gets the Fruit Loops. Nobody gets the Fruit Loops.
Right.
You know, it's like we don't do it that way. You bring in healthier foods, and then you work in a little, like on Biggest Loser, there's a little system that we've been doing with the kids, which is like red light foods, green light foods. The red light foods are things like pizza and what have you, and you have them twice a week. It's about balance. We don't want our kids to experience deprivation, but should they be having McDonald's and pizza every day? No. So you should be giving your kids these treat foods once a week, and then the majority of their meals should be better for them options, obviously. So you want the veggies, the fruits, the whole grains, the lean proteins. If you can't afford to go organic, you know, you prioritize those dollars on dairy and meat. Other than that, you can have thick skin, fruits and veggies. We've talked about that before. But most importantly, also portion size. Studies have shown that when you put huge portions, people don't know how much their kids should be eating. When you put huge portions in front of kids, they're going to eat it. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be giving them these enormous portions. There's no reason for that. So it's just without even having to make an issue of their weight, because that's the one thing you don't want to do. Look, bud, you're fat, I've noticed. No. It's a new year. It's a health kick. I want us to get healthier as a family. So we don't ostracize them. That's the worst thing you can do. Never make an issue of their weight individually. Never single them out. Never say things like, you sure you want to eat that? Or, you know, don't weigh them. Don't do things like that. But just start gradually making the changes. Just give them smaller portions. Just start changing the things in the house. And start doing things, the same things that work for adults, work for kids. So, for example, studies show us that when you're an adult and you've got access to healthier things, healthy foods that are more accessible, so you put the fruit bowl in a glass bowl on the countertop, well, that's going to make you more likely to grab the apple. We'll put the healthier snacks more available for kids. When adults set their sneakers by the door, they're more inclined to work out. We'll put a basketball hoop in the backyard for your kids. Mm-hmm. Get an Xbox Kinect so they can play things like Dance Dance Revolution. When it's accessible to them, they're going to be more inclined to do it. So build their environment around fun activities. And it's not about the gym. It's about sports. Put a tetherball stick in your backyard. Get them a bunch of soccer balls or whatever and put it by the door. Put, friggin' hook up their Jillian, speak English. Hook up the Xbox in the living room. So create an environment that's conducive to activity for them. And then do give them rules. Limit their time in front of a screen. Studies are showing us the kids are spending 8 hours a day in front of a screen.
Wow.
Whether it's their computer or their television.
Right.
2 hours a day. That's it. No more. 2 hours a day. And I read a study recently that applies to kids and adults, but apparently watching television can actually turn on your obese genes. Beyond, you know, calories in, calories out, people that had similar genetics, right? They ate the same thing and they exercised the same amount, but one group spent more time in front of the TV than the other, and that group that spent more time in front of the TV packed on more pounds and had a higher body fat percentage, even though they ate and burned the same amount.
So it's just like all psychological.
It's crazy. It's a huge study. It came out of Harvard. But the bottom line is limit their screen time. You're their parent. And it's just for their overall good. Limit their screen time, for goodness sake. 2 hours a day, absolute maximum. And you know something else? Get outside and play with your friggin' kids. Take them to the playground and run around and play tag. Take them, you know, to go skiing or snowboarding with you. Take them paddleboarding with you or kayaking with you when you're on vacation. Here's another one for you. So this was a study out of the University of Missouri, and these researchers found, first and foremost, that the number one way to get kids active is to make sure they enjoy the activity. So talk to your kid. Do they want to take martial arts? Do they want to take dance? What activity can you engage them in that they're going to love and enjoy? You know, what do they like to do? And then the second one was positive feedback. Parental encouragement was the second most important factor in determining whether or not the kids exercised. So, God, that was great. You did such a good job. Wow, nice way to try. Even if it's not great, it's a good trying, bud. I read this parenting book that said, you don't praise success, you praise effort. So that they're not afraid to fail.
And they're not success-driven.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like they're proud of they're getting out and taking the chance as opposed to, well, I only get praised if I succeed. And when I fail, I don't get praised. It doesn't feel good, so I'm afraid to try. Praise effort, you know. And another thing you can do, get a group of parents together and take turns after school teaching PE, since schools are stripping PE out.
I mean,
even in my kid's class, she's 2.5, but there's like 10 kids in her little preschool. One of the moms teaches yoga once a week. Heidi goes and does gardening with them once a week. You know, volunteer if it can't be once a week, once a month. Mm-hmm. Most classes have more than 10 kids. If there's 20 kids in a class, once a month, can you find the time to do PE after school or lead an after school group? Talk to the principal about, hey, can we use the grounds and have fun? Organize a soccer game. This way, if money is an issue and you guys organize as parents and you put in one day a month, you can do that. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's sticking with me is how we're not shame driven anymore. Like shame just doesn't have any part of motivation anymore. Like to say, like as you said earlier, to tell a kid, yeah, you shouldn't eat that. What are you eating? It's just got no place in any part of life.
Not just kids, but
every factor of life. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't. And you need to be positive and you need to lead by example, but you also need to get involved. Yeah. Whether it's talking to your principal and saying, how are we going to build a safe, inclusive, accepting environment for physical activity? Because that's another thing. If kids get picked on, then they're not going to want to engage.
Yeah.
So you got to talk to the gym teachers or you got to talk to the principal. You got to make fitness fun and engaging for the kids. Make it fun for them. That is the key. And introduce them to a variety of activities until they find what they like. There was a little kid I worked with on losing it and tried a bunch of different things. Didn't like it. He liked karate. Okay. That's what you do. Try it. Expose them and expose them with you. Not I'm taking you to this class kicking and screaming. We're going to take a blank together. We're going to do this together. Heidi does mommy and me dance with Lou. I take Lou to the horses all the time. Mm-hmm. When Phoenix can walk, I'm going to take him. hasn't quite crawled yet. But, you know, I'm planning on taking him to like free running and parkour and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And by the way, if he doesn't like it and he likes ballet, then that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to impose anything on him, but I'm going to expose him and we're going to do it together. And it's going to be fun in a positive environment. But you've got to talk to your kids about it. And you got to get your head out of the sand. Because a lot of times I think parents don't want to talk about it because they themselves are not healthy.
Yeah.
So there. All right. Done.
That's good.
I know.
Oh, God bless you, Jillian.
Yeah, and he does. She does. She does
very
every day.
Good. We'll be right back.
Hey, we are back, and Barbara would like to talk to you.
Hey, Barbara, what's up?
Hi, Jillian. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I've been better.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, I'm doing great. I recently lost 140 pounds.
Wow, nice.
Over the last year.
Okay.
And I'm having a really hard time with the maintenance.
Okay.
It just seems like I reached my goal weight, and then like the very next week, I tried to eat like a quote normal person.
Okay.
And immediately, like, the weight just came back on.
All right.
So then the week after that, I go back on the diet. And
what
then
is okay, stop. Okay, so what is the diet?
Low carb. I was diagnosed with diabetes, the type 2.
Okay. See,
after I lost all the weight, the diabetes went away. Well, okay. I mean, it never really goes away, but it's in check.
Low carb. Okay, and here's what happens. Here is the problem. This is why so many people have a hard time with maintenance, which should be the easiest thing in the world, is because you've lost it in a way that is not sustainable. So the way to lose weight, it's really simple. Eat less, move more, and choose better quality foods whenever possible. So, for example, if you are having carbs, it's, okay, have oatmeal instead of Fruit Loops. Okay, have, the Ezekiel English muffin with some low-fat cream cheese on it, not a white bread bagel. So that's how you lose weight. It's not about cutting out a food group or a macronutrient like carbs or fats. And then the problem is that when you do that and then you go back eating the other way, you've never really learned the key part of weight loss, which is like, okay, it's calories in, calories out. Maintenance, your shift in maintenance mode should simply be that you went from eating 1,200, 1,400, 1,600 calories a day to eating 2,000. That's it. You get to eat more. Game over of the same foods. So now you say, all right, I'm eating like a normal person. Okay, now I know that your I'm on a diet is cutting out carbs, which you don't need to do. So what is your, quote, normal person? What is your, I ate like a normal person. What's that look like?
Well, you know, I guess everyone's version of normal is different.
I've never
been normal because I've been overweight my whole life, and I've lost, you know, massive amounts of weight, and then this is the problem. As soon as I'm done losing the weight, I try to think like a normal person. But my version of normal isn't really normal. Either that or I've just screwed up my metabolism.
No. Show me what's normal, and I'll give you an answer to immediately. Think is normal.
Well, I would add some more carbs back in.
Give me a day. I need a day in the life. Breakfast.
Okay, a day. I would probably start out my breakfast the same as I normally would, which would be like egg substitutes with like a whole wheat tortilla wrap with some peppers thrown in there or some spinach thrown in there.
Fine.
For lunch, I would normally have a wrap or some type of whole wheat bread with some tuna fish or turkey breast or salad or something like that.
Fine.
Dinner, what I would normally have would be just some chicken or some turkey with a vegetable or a salad.
Oh, but this is your diet day.
That was the diet.
The diet. Okay, now give me the other day.
Now, the other days, I guess I would maybe, for lunch, I would go out with a friend, and I would have maybe a bacon cheeseburger.
Oh,
with
girl.
Some fries.
Okay, honey. Well, yeah, no wonder.
Laughing at me.
No,
I mean,
we're not laughing. Well, Janice is laughing, but she's an insensitive ass. Okay.
But, I mean, normal people can do
no,
that.
No, sweetie, no, they can't. Two-thirds of our country are obese. No, normal people do not eat bacon cheeseburgers and fries and get
well,
away
not
with
every
it.
Day.
Babe. No, normal people don't get away with that. There is a way to do this, and you have not learned it.
I know.
So here's the thing. You don't get a bacon cheeseburger and fries. You get, like, a cheeseburger with no fries. It comes with a side salad. And if you're getting a bacon cheeseburger, then you're getting it on lettuce because you're getting bacon cheese and probably a host of other crap on there, and you don't get the fries. And then you're eating clean the rest of the day and going to the gym. Here's what you need to understand. There's room for everything in a healthy lifestyle. It is the amount of it that you consume and the rate, like the often, how often she consumes it, the frequency of when you incorporate it. So weight loss, buddy, is calories in, calories out. Maintenance is that you're eating as much as you're burning. So you need to figure out how much your body is burning in a day, okay? So you can get a little the Body Media Fit armband, coolest thing ever. Tells you, you know, what you're burning, this and that. If you don't have, you know, if you're like, it's too much money, that's fine. Totally understand. Go online. Google BMR calculator, okay? Enter in your information. It'll give you a rough guess at what you're burning through just breathing, living, if you sat on the couch and did nothing all day long, involuntary bodily functions, what your body's burning. Now, really quick, and I'm going over it fast because I've said it about a million times and I know people are blowing their brains out who've heard it before, but four levels of activity. One, totally sedentary, sit at a desk all day long. Two, salesperson, or up on your feet a little bit, but not totally active. Three, fitness trainer, very physical throughout the day. Four, you're a construction worker. This is without exercise. Where do you fall? One, two, three, four.
Well, I don't work. I'm at home, but I exercise every morning for an hour.
Forget the exercise, though. Just your activity level. One, two, three, four. Where do you fall? How physical are you?
Probably a one.
A one. So yeah. You take your BMR and you multiply it by 1.1. So if you're a three like me, it's 1.3. So, all right, let's presume I don't have any idea what your BMR would be. But, okay, mine, for example, is like 1,300, something like that. I then multiply by 1.3, and it brings me somewhere into like the 1,600, 1,700 range. Then if I never exercised and I ate 1,700 calories a day, I would not gain weight. Then I go to the gym. I give myself, okay, if I'm working out really, really hard, like a crazy person, 10 calories a minute. If you're putting in average effort, give yourself 5 calories a minute if you don't have a calorie counting device. And, you know, play it on the safe side. So let's say you're going, if you're in a rut or you're going medium or you're walking on the treadmill or you're on the elliptical or you're reading a magazine, okay, fine, give you 5 calories a minute. Okay, 5 times 60. Someone give me the math on that. 300, right? 300. So let's say you're burning, if you're, you know, I'm guessing, but like let's say, all right, you figure out what your BMR is, multiply by 1.1. Now you've got a number. Let's say it's 1,600, 300 calories for exercise. You're at 1,900 calories, okay? If you never eat over 1,900 calories, you will not gain weight. A bacon cheeseburger and fries, you're over halfway there.
Yeah. So it really basically is calories in, calories out.
That's it, bud. That's why maintenance is easy. You're going into strict diet mode, and then you're like, okay.
The dieting is the easy part because the dieting is so controlled, and you don't have any room to make any choices because I would eat basically the same thing every day and, you know, exercise the same amount every day. And at the end of the week, the scale would always drop.
But so honey, and then you go back and you go, you know,
I know,
okay, now I need my burger. But if you say I've got 1,900 calories to play with today and I'm going to make, you know, all right, I want my burger or I want my fries. Well, then, okay, the fries are 500 calories for a small fries. So if you're doing that, you're having egg whites for breakfast and chicken and broccoli for dinner.
Yeah.
But you can do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like you incorporate it into the calorie allowance. But if you're going back to like, okay, I did a fad diet and I was so regimented and I was so, so good. And now I'm going back to the way I was. That's why you need to lose weight in a way that's maintainable, where it's a healthy lifestyle. You learn to incorporate those things into a calorie deficit. And then when you go into maintenance mode, you get to simply eat more. That's all. That's all that changes.
So eat more of what you normally would eat, but not the bad things.
But you can eat the bad things, honey, within your calorie allowance.
Yeah, that's what I'm not doing. I'm not counting the calories. I'm just like, okay, well, now I'm going to try and be like a normal person. So, I mean, you see normal people eating a cheeseburger.
Really? Have you looked at their body? I mean, have you? I stop and look around. I watch people all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, son of a bitch, are you really going to eat that?
Yeah.
And they look like crap. They're paunchy and soft and this and that. Occasionally.
Right.
You'll see a teenager or someone in their 20s eating that. That's thin. And by the way, you don't know that they don't run a marathon every day
exactly.
to eat that food.
Yeah.
I mean, honey, people that are fit don't do that. Even Heidi, like Heidi can eat whatever she wants, but she doesn't. I mean, I watch her. She eats like if she has ice cream, but I watch what she ate for dinner. She doesn't eat that much.
Yeah, so it's really like a cruel joke, you know? It's like you think you can eat the stuff, but you really can't.
No, you can in your calorie allowance.
Yeah, so I really have to start watching calories.
Yes.
So because that's something I never really did during this whole diet phase.
I
never once counted a calorie. And it just worked out that way.
But you are, without realizing it, the foods that you described to me, you were probably taking in under 1,200 calories a day. So, of course, you lost weight. You just didn't ever stop to go, of course, this is diet food. Why? Well, it's low in friggin' calories.
Yeah.
So, honey, I mean, that's what's happening. You just need to figure out your metabolic rate, like I told you.
Okay.
And then just make sure you don't eat over that amount in calories, and you won't gain weight. Promise.
So even if I exercise extra, maybe I could have a few extra calories?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what's called balance.
Right.
That's exactly right.
So that's something I've never been able to do. I've always just, I guess because I resorted back to the wrong way of eating after I was done with the losing phase. I never really went into a true maintenance. I always, it was like the ball kept rolling, and then as soon as it stopped, it started rolling backwards. Like the minute I would, you know, lose the weight, it would just start coming right back on because I never really learned properly
how to lose it.
How to keep it off, you know.
I'm going to send you, which book do I want to send you? I want to send you my new book. I'm going to send you my new book, Slim for Life, as soon as I have a galley. The whole book is all about lifestyle, how to incorporate all this stuff into lifestyle so you don't need to sit there and count every calorie and think about it. It'll teach you all of these slimming strategies about how to incorporate those foods and in almost as effortlessly as possible.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds like something I could really use.
I hope so, bud.
Yeah.
But just follow this advice I'm giving you on the call. It's going to change your life.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much for your help.
My pleasure, sweetie.
This is the encouragement that I definitely needed.
Oh, well, I hope so. Call us back and let us know how you're doing.
I will.
All right.
Definitely.
Good.
Thank you so much, Jillian.
No problem.
All right. Bye-bye.
See, that's the problem, man, with all these stupid diets that people buy. It doesn't teach you anything. Doesn't teach you how to live. Doesn't teach you. I'm like, what's so hard about maintenance? You get to eat more. I'm talking about right now. But I cut carbs. I did this. I did that. And then they like live in this state where they're completely and utterly deprived. The weight comes off. And then, yeah, there's the kickback. It's just,
I can't even go a year without something.
A little something.
I don't do bacon, but something.
Yeah, you gotta have a little something. Gotta.
Jeez.
All right. Let's go. We gotta go.
All right.
So,
how about that goodbye?
Yeah, that's good. This is quick. We've improved. For 2013, that's the best we've done so far.
All right.
Okay. See you next week.
Okay, good.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.